thoughts within me. Thy comforts delight my soul. Here is a verse that I have squeezed and squeezed and loved through the years. Don't this morning at all feel sorry for me, because I have no feeling of need for sympathy at all, because I'm not as frustrated as some of you are. But I people ask me this question over and over again. Pastor, how do you carry the load you carry? Now, I don't call it a load at all. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But I do a lot of things. And on my mind, constantly, there are multitudes of things. David had the same problem. He said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me. Let me paraphrase that as it should have been if the translators had really hit it right on the head. It would have been something like this. As my thoughts jostle against each other like chariots in the street, thy comforts delight my soul. As my thoughts jostle against each other like chariots, I was on the expressway the other day, and a lady decided to go backwards. I told my class about this morning. A lady decided to go backwards. Now you say, could you tell she was a lady? Well, I didn't see her, but I saw how the car was being driven, and so I determined it must have been a lady. But she decided she had missed her cutoff, and she decided to go backwards, and it must have been 50 yards backwards she had to go. Now, you can't drive a car backwards too easily. And so the car was going just like that, and suddenly somebody came up, jammed the brakes, and hit the rear end of her car. Somebody behind him jammed his brakes and hit the rear end of his car. And the next car behind him jammed his brakes and hit the rear end of his car. And I'm sure the lady got out and said, why don't you watch where you're going? But four cars, three of them ran into the back of the car in front. Four cars involved, all because a lady missed her turn. On these expressways, if you miss your turn, the next cutoff is in Idaho. And here are these cars. One, wham, 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 just like that. Now, that's what the Scripture says. David said, whenever my thoughts within me get to the place where they're just hitting against each other. Now, do you ever get that way? Did you ever see on television these advertisements for Anison or Excedrin, and there's a hammer hitting on your head, you know? And that's exactly the way it is, isn't it? What things are just banging and banging and banging and banging and banging. This thought, this something in your mind says, think about me for a while. And something over here says, but I've got to be thought about. And you say, I've got two things to think about. And before long, something else jumps in here and says, think about me. And before long, they're clanging in there. And you got 14 or 15 hammers all hitting against each other and chariots jostling against each other. And David said, when I get like that, he said, thy comforts delight me. Thy comforts delight me. Like a crowd fighting for room, like chariots jostling against one another. But there's one other thought in this that is implied, and that is this, and that is these are thoughts about business. These are business thoughts. I was thinking the other day, I was reading this verse again, and I was thinking, I wasn't feeling sorry for myself because I certainly of all people am most blessed. But I was thinking, one day, the thoughts began to jostle, and Doc, I know you do this, all you fellows do this, and all of us do. Somebody said, Brother Howes, how do you do what you do? Did you know I think the same thing about you ladies? Get up in the morning and fix breakfast. I fix breakfast a time or two myself. And by the time I got breakfast finished, it was time for lunch. And but you get up, you know, just exactly how to break those eggs and how to keep the yellow from busting. I've broken 6,742 eggs and have not yet kept the yellow from busting. And but you ladies fix breakfast in the morning, and then you call the kids and the family to the breakfast table, and then you get the kids all ready, and then they leave, and you gotta wash, and you gotta iron, and you gotta wash the dishes, and you gotta clean the house, and you gotta take care of many things. And by that time the kids are coming home, and so many things on your mind, and the phone rings, and the washing machine breaks, and the hot water heater bursts, and there's water all over the basement. Then the sump pump breaks, and just a typical normal day for a lady. And suddenly the thoughts, I've got got to do this. I've got to do this. And one thought says, let me have attention. The other thought says, I've got to be cared for. And this thing says, how about me? And like cars or chariots jostling one against the other on the Broadway, these thoughts begin, and pretty soon you say, I'm a nervous wreck. And the husband comes home at night, and you say, and he says, hello, sweetheart, how are you? And you said, I'm a nervous wreck. These kids are driving me nuts. I got news for you. You were nuts before you ever had a kid, or you wouldn't have married him. But anyway, they're driving me nuts. These kids are driving me insane. I've got so much to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to throw it all up in the air. The reason you're laughing is because I'm talking about everybody in this house this morning. All of us have the same problems. Did you know that a little child has the same problems? A child in school goes to art and then to music and then to reading and then to history and then to geography and then to mathematics. And even a child's mind, things are fighting for attention in the mind of a child. So I was sitting in my office the other day, and I was reading the scripture, and I got thinking, that day, doctor, these are the things that I have done. Now, these are no more than yours. You listen to my gripes for a while. I listen to yours 6 days a week. But anyway, I was thinking, these are the things I've done. Dr. Billings had called and said, Doc, how about some things at the school? How about this? What do you think about this? And I'd worked on the college. We're going to start next year some, hoping to get some things done about the college. Then I had the nationwide radio broadcast to worry about. Then we had some, we needed some money about to drop some stations. And then I'm writing three books right now. And I worked on the books a little bit. And then I had 100 conferences that week. People came to my office. 100 different people had come for private conferences. And then Brother Perky came in and said that the north wall of the mission's about to fall down. And just a typical day, you know. And So then, after that, somebody called and said, Pastor said, I think we need to check. One of the deacons called and said, about some property for the new high school. I think we found, needed to have a talk about some property for the new high school. And then at the same time, I realized Brother Beebe came and said he needs a little extra money and so forth. And I had 50 some odd letters that came that day and dictated about 20 answers mailed that day. And then three preachers called me long distance. They said they're having problems in their churches and needed counseling. Then I planned a while on the fall program, how to have 6,000 on the fall program. And then I thought about the travel and okayed some trips I was going to take. And then I got especially burdened for New England. I preached there yesterday to the Nazarene Convention of New England states, all but Maine, Connecticut and New Jersey and New Hampshire and Rhode Island and Massachusetts and so forth. And I prayed a while. Dear God, stir up some young preacher in that meeting this weekend. And may somebody get the idea. Help somebody to build a great church in New England to show these deadheads it can be done in New England. And I prayed about that for a while. And then I had some sermons to work on. I prepare sermons. And then I had to talk to someone about a wedding. And then I read three dirty, nasty, poison pen letters that folks had written me. And one of them is the worst I hate to get. I don't like to get a letter. Somebody wrote and said, Brother Hiles, Dr. Hiles, said, your problem is you need to learn how to love. You need to learn how to love. Now, I don't mind somebody writing me and saying I'm stubborn. But, brother, when somebody writes me and says, you don't have love in your heart, he's got a hole in his head. That's the God's truth. And but I got some three dirty letters. And then I had to check on the loan fund, see how the loan fund was doing. And then pastor's school mailing has to go out soon. Pastor's school, we're starting on pastor's school already. At least I am getting ready for pastor's school. And then the same day, I had to plan about 6 Sword of the Lord conferences and take care of correspondence on that. And then I'm working on the committee for the International Conference on Evangelism that's going to be conducted in Los Angeles Coliseum next August, and I'm on the committee planning for that. I had a long-distance call about that. And then there were three Sunday school lessons I had to prepare for the next week. And then there was a staff. I had to talk to each staff member about their problems and their needs. And then there was one teenager was going to come in. He was writing an essay at school, and he had to help me. I had to help him write his essay at school. And then I had 6 appointments that night. And then I had some pastors needing help. And then I had to pray for America for a while. And other than that, I had nothing to do. I had the day off apart from that. And now you say, oh, what a load you carry. I say, oh, what a load you carry. You have the same problem. You have things fighting in your mind for the attention in your mind. David had the same thing. Here's David. He was the king of Israel. Think of the multitudinous job that he had, the king of Israel. But that isn't all. At the writing of this 94th Psalm, enemies lurked in the shadows to try to take over the kingdom and destroy David and destroy the kingdom and take captive the Israelites. And David had the enemies to be concerned about. And so he had to get his armed forces all prepared. And he had to get his army all lined up. And he had to organize. And he had the whole country to run. And he had to think of all the many details of running the country. And besides that, he had a bunch of trouble in his own kids. His kids didn't turn out right. One of his children died when he was just a baby. And another child raped his sister. And another son murdered the fellow who raped his sister. And then the fellow who murdered him decided to take over the kingdom and caused David some trouble. And so David had the kingdom over here and war over here and the army over here and his son over here and his children's problems over here and all the problems and complex burdens that a king must have to carry. And David said, just like all of us say every once in a while, David said that my thoughts, the multitude of thoughts, beat one against the other like a chariot, like chariots in the broadways, jostling one against the other. And then David said, but when that happens, I know what to do. Now, that's the great difference there, ladies and gentlemen. Some of us know what to do. This happens to all of us. Everybody has days like this. Doctor, did you ever have a day like this? You wonder, you got the buses to take care of? I think you called me one day and you're about like this. In fact, one Wednesday night recently, I think you're about like this. And Brother Perky, here comes 14 drunks and 2 dope heads and Brother Fisk in the rescue mission all at the same time. That's enough to make anybody jostle against the broadways. And Brother Beebe. But this fellow sometimes has buses broken down in 40 of the 50 states. And all the bus ministry and you at home and you at work and you kids at school and you young people in your problems and you ladies in your household duties and you men out the steel mill get up in the morning bright and early. And it's about what time you get up? 5:30? The alarm goes off. And the alarm goes off, I never know what to do. And as I said many times, I first try the door. If nobody there, I know it wasn't the doorbell. Telephone. Answer the phone. Say hello. If it's buzzing, then you know that's, and then the third and last, it's the alarm. And you not put the crazy thing off and you get up and you wonder what day it is and you wonder who you are. And you get up and you get your breakfast right quick and the sun's not up and it's 10 below 0 outside. It's gonna come. And snow's on the ground and the car won't start and it does start and you get up here to Calumet Street and all of a sudden those things come down like that. But don't fret. We're gonna have an overpass there. Every mayor that's been in office since I've been in town says he's gonna put one there and everybody running for office. It'll be there. You mark it down. Your great grandkids will enjoy it too. And so you sit there and then all of a sudden, you drive your car and the car won't run. You get out and you kick the wheel and you get to work late and you work in an old steel mill and bills to be paid and the preacher says you got to come to prayer meeting or you'll go to hell and all the things begin to beat on your mind and all of us have it. All of us have it. Every person here has those days. Now, there are two types of people. There's one type that knows what to do about it and there's the other type that's going to know what to do about it in a few minutes. What do you do? David said, in the multitude of my thoughts, he said, thy comforts delight my soul. Thy comforts delight my soul. Do you know I was thinking about this? In a church like this, we have to know what to do with all the many phases of our church program. Deacons, we have more responsibilities now than we used to have. It won't be as easy for us to get along with each other as it used to be. We're going to have to find that in the multitudes of our church ministry, the grade school, the high school, the bus ministry, the rescue mission, the nationwide radio broadcast, the many affairs of our church, the growing Sunday school, the budget, and all the rest of it, we're going to have to find something to delight us. And David said, thy comforts delight my soul. Many, many times, I just get out from it all and walk up and down the street or drive out in the country and let the comforts of God delight my soul. Did you know the word delight here is a very strong word? More than just I'm so delighted. Like a song all the choir was singing a while ago. I shut my eyes and some of those chords and some of the words, I mean, just like a composed tablet that some of you folks take, all those tranquilizers that you take. And did you know, the psalmist doesn't mean that. The psalmist said, When my thoughts beat against each other, he said, thy comforts, my soul. That's what it means. Thy comforts make my soul to laugh. Thy comforts make my soul rejoice. Thy comforts make my soul to say, praise the Lord. Thy comforts make my soul to have pleasure. And that's the nearest word to it. Thy comforts pleasure my soul. Thy comforts give my soul pleasure. What comforts? By the way, the word comfort in the Bible means to call one to one side to help. Dr. Billings John Colston, he isn't here. He's walking down these steps and he falls down. And he breaks his leg, or he sprains his ankle, and all of us jump up and we run to him, and we pick him up, and he puts one arm around my neck and one arm around Beebe's neck, and we take him to a couch so he can get some rest. We ran to his side and picked him up. The comforts of God. There are some things that God has to run to your side. Now the tragic thing is this: you try everything but God's comforts. Brother Hiles, do you know the name of any good psychiatrist? Now, don't misunderstand me. If you're have a mental problem or a serious emotional problem caused by your health and so forth, I'm not against using a psychologist. But 90% of the people that use psychologists could find the answer right here in the blessed Word of God. Thy comforts delight my soul. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you listen to me. Listen to me. You don't have to go uncomforted. You don't have to have these things beating against your brain and jostling in your mind. There's a way that God has for you to get comfort and delight. That's one reason why good night. I hear folks, everybody that comes to see me is either in trouble, brokenhearted, or needing money. These guys, anytime one of these guys comes to my office, I say, how much? And yet, do you know, I'm hardly ever unhappy. Hardly ever. I guess not twice a year do I get melancholy. I mean, I just feel like everything's all going to pot. You know, one reason is everything stays to pot with me. And like a fellow said, I said the depression didn't bother me. I was a flop during the boom, you know. Somebody said the other day, and I think it's the thing that I try to do. Somebody said, you never do know if Brother Hiles has got any problems. You never do know if Brother Hiles is blue. Now, some of you folks might can tell. Some of you psychic people can look at my eyes and tell the pastor is, and so I don't believe you. But anyhow, somebody said, you never can tell Brother Hiles is down or not. Isn't he ever down? No, he's hardly ever down. You know why? Right before he gets down, he grabs one of God's comforts and delights his soul in it. The first one is the Word of God. The Word of God. I'm so glad I learned years ago the Word of God is living. You know, here's what the Bible is to you. Uncle George has cancer, and so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Bible to you is some dark, navy blue kind of room with blue light in it. Young people, the Bible to me is a delight and a refreshment. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Everything I got, I can have. Why? The Word of God is living and vibrant and alive and virile. And God wants you to get in the Bible all the time and stay happy. Doesn't matter if the things are beating against your mind and trying to capture your attention and jostling one against the other. Get in the Bible. I recall when I first came to this church, we had some hard days and so forth. And one day I was in the auditorium at the altar, on my knees at the altar in the old auditorium, the one that burned. And I was reading Isaiah 9:6, and I had a commentary beside me that told me what it said in the Hebrew and the original language. And so I was reading it, and it, Isaiah 9:6, and his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor. And it goes on to say, the Prince of Peace. And so I was a little bit, trifled down. We had some battles in the church and so forth. And so I looked up the words Prince of Peace, and in the original language, it said the words Prince of Peace mean tranquilizer. And I put that in there. His name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Tranquilizer. And all of a sudden, I shouted at the top of my voice, praise the Lord! And whoever was secretary then came out of the office, ran down the hall, ran down to the auditorium, and said, "Brother Howell, anything wrong with you? You see, when I praise the Lord, everybody thinks something's wrong. But what is it? Thy comforts delight my soul. When the thoughts press heavy and the load is hard and the many things, the many business problems go through my mind, it's time to pay income tax, but the insurance is due. And you didn't get as much back last year from Uncle Sam as you thought you should have gotten. And the house payment and taxes are going up. And the preacher says we're going to have a big offering pretty soon. And everybody's going to get kicked out of the church that doesn't give. Did you hear that? But and the preacher said, and all the and Junior steps on a nail. It's a rusty nail. And he's got to have a tetanus shot. And then a bat bites him when he's out. And little Susie, her boyfriend quit her, and she's going to go out and commit suicide. And Johnny runs off from home, and Roger gets hit in the head by a baseball bat. And Matilda's boyfriend quit her, and she's going to go out and end it all. And all of these things. And the dog comes in and he isn't trained. And the handprints are on the tiles, and the footprints are on the floor. And the old man brings in steel soot on the carpet you had washed today. And you just say, "I think I'm about to explode." Then get in the Bible quick. Thy comforts delight my soul. Thy comforts delight my soul. I wonder how many times I've gotten comfort from the 54th of Isaiah, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Oh, how many times in the battles I have read that scripture and I've squeezed it and squeezed it. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I wondered how many times I've quoted the psalmist who said, "Open thou mouth wide and I will fill it." How many times have I taken when everything pressed upon my mind and it seemed like it was that my mind was like a Broadway with chariots jostling one against the other saying, "Think of me, know me, know me." Yet in the Bible, listen, somebody said to John Wesley one time, they asked him, "How long do you pray every day?" And John Wesley said, "I pray 2 hours every morning." And somebody said, "Well, I have too much to do to pray 2 hours every morning." And John Wesley said, "I have too much to do not to pray 2 hours every morning." John Wesley had found that the thoughts won't jostle so much if you find comfort in the Word of God and in fellowship with God. But there's something else or somebody else. And that comfort is the Holy Spirit. In John 14:16, he's called the Comforter. In John 14:26, he's called the Comforter. In John 15:26, he's called the Comforter. In John 16:7, he's called the Comforter. He is the one when you have all these frustrations. "I think I'm about to crack up. I think I'm about to have a... I'm a nervous wreck." Then the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter. I'm glad I learned about him. Brother Beebe, I guess one of the greatest days in my life was that day when I learned the Holy Spirit's a person. And I learned that every day he's with me. And you know, I speak to him. I get up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." Many times I drive down the road, and if I'm in a hurry, and if the light is red, and I need to turn green right quick so I can make it to the airport on time, I'll say, "Holy Spirit, turn that light green. Right quick." You know where I got that? I was down in Harold Seiler's church one day, and I had 30 minutes to get to the airport, and it was a 45-minute drive. And one of old Harold Seiler's old deacons, he used bad English. He wasn't educated. He's a terrible dresser, and he just the old, we'd call him where I came from, country hicks. You hicks in the church, don't get mad at me. We have a lot of folks named Hicks here. We call them country hicks where I came from. We call them hillbillies, but now that's not what hillbillies mean here. Anybody that's sort of ignorant, and we call them hillbillies where I came from. But anyway, now our one. But this fellow said, "We'll make it all right." And I said, "Man, it's a 45-minute drive, and we only have 30 minutes." He said, "Jesus will help us make it." And I said, "Well, I tell you what, he'd come a lot nearer helping us. We'd left earlier." And so we took off toward the airport, and the guy who was a little bit of a short runt and real skinny, and he barely could see over, you know, sort of like this, driving over. And I looked at him, and so we got to a light, and the light just turned red. And he said, "Jesus, make it green." You know, that light began to flicker and just broke and turned back green. And I said, "What an accident." What a coincidence. And so we drove down to the next light. And he said, "Jesus, make that in green. This preacher's got to get to the airport." And Jesus made that turn green too. Before we got to the airport, I said, Jesus, make that in green. And you know he did. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you could learn the Holy Spirit's a person who lives with you, walks with you, listens to you, wants to comfort you? When David said, When I get the place to where my thoughts and my business is on my mind so much and everything is trying to capture my attention, David said, I get in the comforts of God. I get in the Word of God. And I just fellowship with the Spirit of God. Thy comforts delight my soul. But there's another thing, and that is, this is a sweet comfort, the comforts of God's people. You know what I wish you'd do? Sometime, don't do it now, but sometime get your pencil, turn to the fly leaf of your Bible, and write down a bunch of people who are a delight to you. And when you get to the place where everything's about to crack, you're about to crack up, everything's about to fall apart, go alone and think about those people. Just go alone. The other day, I mentioned, I was sitting in my office and somebody pushed a note under my door. And I went to it. And it was written in a little child's handwriting. And it said, To the world's WURLDS greatest GRETIS preacher, PRECHER. And that little note said, I love you. And had 2 pennies, scotch tape. Did you know you can find great comfort from God's people if you just think about them? Anybody that, when you think about them, always gives you comfort, always gives you strength, delight, refreshment. Okay, write their names down. If you're when the thoughts come, David said, thy comforts delight my soul. But there's something else, and that is the rapture when God comes, Christ comes for his own. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, our Lord tells about the rapture, and he says, comfort one another with these words. Now listen to me. I'd love to help you this morning. God knows I would. You don't have to take compose. George, what's happened to you? You used to have so much nervous energy. You used to fly off the handle. Susie, one day, somebody gave me compose. I'd rather be nervous. I really have. I'd rather be nervous. You don't have to take compose. And you don't have to go and grab the pots and pans on the stove and throw it up in the air, down through. One lady came the other day to me and she said, I tried to kill myself several times this week. And I said, no, you didn't. She said, why didn't I? I said, because you'd be dead if you did. She said, well, I tried. I said, okay, next time, let me help you. I said, how'd you try? And she told me, and I said, you didn't try very hard. And so I said, next time, go out, get your car, and drive out to the Skyway. And drive up over the Skyway. There's a big bridge there over the river, you know, the ship. And I said, get out of the car, get up on top of the side of the bridge and jump off. It never fails. She said, that'd be dangerous. Huh? Aren't we a sorry bunch of Christians? Huh? You have to go down to some heathen druggist and get some tranquilizers so you can have peace. My Lord said, my peace I give unto you, not the peace that the world giveth. But my peace give I unto you. Don't misunderstand me. I feel for you if you have a, if the load is heavy. I feel for you when the burdens are many. I, as much as anybody, ought to understand that because I carry many things on my mind all the time. But do you know what I do? When the load gets to where it's not enjoyable anymore and where I can't say his yoke is easy and his burden is light, I just get in the car and take off and park beside some country road and open the blessed Word of God and read, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Tranquilizer. My peace give I unto thee, not the peace that the world giveth, but my peace give I unto thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noise and pestilence. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet. The word of God. And then sometimes when the burdens get heavy and the load is so hard to carry, and it seems like that the fall program says, I need your attention. And people say, we have problems. We need counsel. I need your attention. And somebody calls and says, we need some property for the school. I need your attention. And look at the budget. We didn't make the budget last week. And it budgets, I need your attention. And the rescue mission, North Wall's falling down. And Brother Perky says, I need your attention. And Brother Fist says, Brother House, we need some money for the visitation program. And that says, I need your attention. And Brother Beebe says, Brother House, how about a little help on the buses? And that's, I need your attention. And I walk down the hall. Maxine Jeffries comes out and says, could you approve this for me? And Mr. O'Brien says, how about this party? And Mrs. Schultz says, Brother House, how about this part in the loan fund? And then Ray Lanou says, we're behind in the radio fund. We need so much offering for Wednesday night. And Mrs. Helen Wachter says, how about the pastor school mailing? And Mrs. Bewley and Mrs. Nischick, Mrs. Crawl say, Brother House, we're going to get that thing read about the book. And I got two sermons to edit now for the radio ministry. And I got three books I'm writing. And sometimes it all begins to beat and beat. And so I get in the car and I go out in the woods somewhere. And I just say, Holy Spirit, you didn't come to make me nervous. You didn't come to cause me to be a nervous wreck. You didn't come to make me to crack up. You came to give me peace. And I'm going to just talk to you a while. And the dear Comforter picks me up and refreshes my soul. He restoreth my soul. And then I get thinking about some of you people. I think through the crowd here and look out at some of you dear people. And that makes me more nervous, and so I go back to the Bible again. But I think about some dear people and some sweet gestures of kindness and love and affection and your loyalty and your love and your faithfulness. And I'm comforted again and again and again. And then sometimes, if the bills are so heavy, I just say, Lord, won't you come back today? You know, if I knew when the Lord's going to come back, I'd buy everything I wanted to buy. I've often thought how I'm going to be when I'm up in the air looking down. The bill collectors come by and knock on the door. I say, you're never going to find him at home. He's gone. He is gone. There are many other things that comfort the Christian. But may I say, you don't have to be a nervous wreck. Because David, the king of Israel, enemies coming from one side, his own son causing insurrection on the other side. One son died as a baby. One son raped his own daughter, and another son killed him, and that son decided to take over the kingdom, and enemies working in the shadows, and King Saul tried to kill him, and back yonder and threatened his life, and war and army and finances and decisions as king of Israel. David said, when the multitude of my thoughts begin to fight for my attention and press on my mind, and I get that heavy feeling in my head, when like chariots on the Broadway, they jostle one against the other, David said, thy comforts delight my soul. I wish you could make the Bible live. I wish the Holy Spirit would become a reality to you. And that's the way what little load I have to carry keeps from driving me nuts. His comforts delight my soul. Let us pray. Father, help our people today. Settle our nerves. Calm our spirits. May we learn the Bible's more than a piece to be on the coffee table. It's more than something to learn. It's something that is to comfort. May we learn the Holy Spirit is someone more than just to convict sinners. He's a comforter to pick her up. He wants to pick us up and give us comfort. May this morning thy comforts delight our soul. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm not making fun of you this morning. I know you have a heavy load. I know the burden that you men carry. How can you make ends meet and pay the bills and take care of every need? I know.
I'm not making fun of you. Ladies, I know the loads must be heavy that you bear. I'm not making fun of you. Oh, we've laughed a bit, but it's not funny to me. I'm serious. I know you have a lot of things on your mind. Everybody does. But oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could learn some lessons from the psalmist? Who, when the many business deals and thoughts and enemies and wars and decisions of a king pressed heavy upon his shoulders and upon his mind, he could say in the multitude of my many thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I have so much to do, said John Wesley, that I must spend 2 hours in prayer. I wonder this morning, why don't you just say, dear Lord, this morning I'm going to become acquainted with thy Spirit, with thy Word, and I'm going to let thy comforts delight my soul. Now, many of you can't say that. You don't know the Spirit of God. You don't know that you're saved. Did you know there's something more than narcotics can give you? There's something better than the liquor traffic. There's something better than the escapes of the world from reality. There's a living Christ that can give you peace and joy, solve your problems, and give you the peace of God in your lives. Are you saved this morning? Are you a Christian? Are you? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That'll help. If you could just know that, know you're going to heaven when you die, that'd take care of a lot of your nervous problems. While every eye is closed, how many can say, Brother Hiles, I may not be a good testimony all the time, but I'm a Christian and I know it. If I died this morning, I'd go to heaven, and I know I would. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the house? You can lower your hands. God bless you. I wonder if you'd be just as honest again, please. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. I wonder how many said, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand, for I do not know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. I'd like to be a Christian. I'd like to know that I'm saved. On the lower floor, how many would say, pray for me?